Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Can you imagine how Moses must have felt the first time he tried to help his people and he ended up on the backside of the desert? Talk about discouragement. Moses had every reason to be discouraged. He was going to change the world. He was going to create a better environment for his people. He was going to make a difference. But instead, he was rejected by his people, exiled from power, and lost his position.
Or so he thought.
For that year. In fact, you could say, honey, Moses thought life as he knew it was over, and it was. The first 40 years of his life, Moses was somebody. The next 40 years of his life, he was a nobody. But, I like the word but, because when it's applied to God's wisdom and plan for future events, it means you may be going through stuff. You may be disappointed or depressed, but God. That's right. But God will come through for you. Our Heavenly Father is faithful to perform what He's promised. No doubt, Moses spent many days leaning on a shepherd's rod, thinking about what could have been, thinking there was no way. But God led Moses to a burning bush, which changed him from being a wilderness shepherd to a statesman and deliverer. Do you think slaves are respected? No. Slaves were looked down on, treated like dogs, and given everything but respect. But do you think slaves were viewed with favor? No. Again, but God said He would cause the children of Israel to receive respect and favor. Now, we don't know about you, but if God gives you respect and favor, that's the ultimate gift. Now, I want you to get a picture of this clearly in your mind. The children of Israel, one day living in bondage, slavery, treated less than human, but then there was a transformation that was taking place.
One night, the children of Israel did what the man of God told them. They painted blood over their doorpost and went to bed as slaves. But the next day, they woke up to freedom and wealth. Can you imagine how they reacted when they first heard these new instructions from Moses? They'd seen how Pharaoh had reacted to the previous plagues brought on the Egyptians. They had suffered further from the cruel taskmasters because Pharaoh's heart had been hardened. As a result of the previous plagues, their work situation was more grueling than ever. They had to make bricks without straw. So when Moses told them to paint blood over the doorpost, didn't we just talk about sometimes you have to do what seems ridiculous to receive that which is miraculous?
Yes, we did.
It says it would have been easy to develop an improper attitude, but they didn't. And as a result, one day, they were slaves living in bondage, and the next day, they were multi-millionaires.
Now, you're probably saying, Brother Harold, Sister Beth, are you sure about this? At that time, Egypt was the richest nation in the world.
Mm-hmm.
When the children of Israel left, Exodus 3:22, and the Message Bible says, in part, oh, you'll clean the Egyptians out.
If you want to go to Exodus 12, verse 36, this is in the New Living Translation. It says it this way. The Lord caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the Israelites, and they gave the Israelites whatever they asked for. So they stripped the Egyptians of their wealth.
How does this apply to our lives? Well, if you're in debt, you're living in bondage. Because debt is bondage, and according to Proverbs 22:7, in the contemporary English version of the Bible, it says that debt makes you a slave to the moneylenders. I heard it said one time that Egypt represented the land of not enough. When you're a slave to the moneylenders, there's never enough. It takes all you can make and then some just to keep your head above the financially troubled waters. You know what I'm talking about. And in that situation, you're truly living in the land of not enough. Next, the children of Israel moved to the wilderness, which is described as the place of just enough. Sadly, that's where way too many believers are living right now. They're just getting by, barely making ends meet, living in stress, and making just enough to keep on doing what got them where they are. But hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
The promised land represents more than enough. That's where God wants his children to live. He doesn't want us just getting by. He wants us to rule and reign. On the journey to the debt-free lifestyle, there was some murmuring along the way. Moses faced some of that. When Moses asked Pharaoh to let the children go into the wilderness and worship the Lord, Pharaoh told the taskmasters to take away the straw and let the Israelites get their own straw without reducing their quality of bricks.
Yeah, they had to still produce the same amount of bricks. And in Exodus 5:21, it says, the foreman said to them, may the Lord judge and punish you for making a stink before Pharaoh and his officials. You have put a sword into their hands and an excuse to kill us. Sadly, some of the children of Israel were more concerned about what Pharaoh thought than what God thought. Even after the 10 plagues, the turning the water into blood, having frogs take over the land, the gnats and the lice coming, and flies, and livestock disease, and boils, and thunder, and hail, and locusts, and darkness, and death of the firstborn. In Exodus 6:9 in the New Living Translation, it says, so Moses spoke thus to the sons of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses on account of their despondency and cruel bondage.
Sometimes, honey, people are not listening to words from the Lord or the encouragement that could bring them out of bondage because they're so despondent over their current situation. In their natural minds, they can't see a way out. You know, I mean, you would think plagues with miraculous signs and wonders would be enough to make the children of Israel believers. But lest we condemn them too quickly, we should pause to ask ourselves some questions. How many times have we seen God show himself mighty on our behalf, only to forget that he answers prayer the next time we get into trouble or need a supernatural intervention? When the people were murmuring, Moses went to God, who said, tell my people that I'm going to deliver them. I'm going to bring them out of bondage and to a land I promise flows with milk and honey. They're going to be my people, and I will be their God. God did exactly what he said. As we mentioned earlier, one day the children of Israel were slaves. The next day, they were wealthy beyond their wildest dreams.
How did all the people feel about Moses? Well, in Exodus 11, verse 3 in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was exceedingly great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and of the people.
I think we should have this in several teachings, actually, because there's so much at work here. But here are a couple of key points to get down inside of you today. First, the first 40 years of his life, Moses was somebody. The next 40 years, he was nobody. And the last 40 years of his life, he was God's body. Success in life is not determined by age, position, circumstance, your current job or location. When we humble ourselves before God, seek His direction and perfect will for our lives, then we're just a few feet away from a burning bush experience. Did you hear what I just said? When we put God first, seek His direction and perfect will for our lives, we're just a few feet away from our burning bush experience. Second, no matter how bad your current situation may be, God can turn it around just like that. He did it one day for the children of Israel, and He loves you no less. But you must be willing to do what He says when He says it, no matter what anybody else thinks. Lastly, just keep praising God. God didn't bring you this far to lead you. You're going out of Egypt, through the wilderness, and into the promised land. And it's not going to take you 40 years. Think about that. If you've been wondering when your unfulfilled promises will be fulfilled, just be peaceful. Your deliverance and your victory are on the way. On this terrific Tuesday, you got to know. Let me say it again. Your deliverance and your victory are on the way. And you're headed into your promised land. Now understand that to go into your promised land, you're going to have to fight and defeat some giants.
But you are well able to do it.
And you're not fighting them by yourself.
That's right.
God is ever on your side. You know, and if God be for you,
who can be against you?
That's it, baby. So you may feel like, I don't know if you ever felt like you were somebody. Hopefully you have. You may have felt during a season in your life, and maybe even right now, that you're nobody. But understand this. Understand this. You are God's body, and He has great and mighty things planned for you. Tap into it today.
Amen.
If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com at the top where it says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed He'd have you put in the ground. Do what He says. It's all we ever ask. While you're there, check out this week's 2-minute video. And till tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern. God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.